I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
You're listening to The Jillian Michaels Show.
Speaking of kind of the greater good, I read this article on The Big Think, and I kind of wanted to put this to you guys because I don't know actually where I would fall. Okay, so it's called How Much We Trust Someone Depends on Their Response to This Moral Dilemma.
Okay. Are we all going to be tested on this?
Yeah, I think so. You ready?
Okay, we're ready.
Would you trust more a person who always acts for the greater good or a person who sticks to their moral principles? And I'll explain what I mean in a second.
Okay.
According to a recent study by researchers from Oxford and Cornell University, most people overwhelmingly prefer the person who sticks to their principles, even when the cost of doing so can be quite high. Now, I saw this movie called Eye in the Sky. Did you guys ever see this movie?
No.
All right. It's about Helen Mirren, who plays like this huge army general, and then Aaron Paul, who plays like this pilot.
Okay.
And she's trying to take out a group of terrorists. He won't fire the missile because there's a little girl in the way. And she's like, fire the missile.
Right.
You know, and he has a way of like, he finds this loophole to kind of, and he's like, fire the missile. She's like, fire the missile or 20 little girls are going to die. And he can't do it. He can't kill the little girl. So she's acting on the greater good. His personal principle is I can't kill the little girl.
Yeah.
Right. That's what it made me think of. And I remember watching the movie going, what would I do if I was Aaron Paul? Or her, like, what would I do? So I guess there's something called, the study involved the famous trolley problem, which asks subjects, would they rather sacrifice one individual to save 5 others? In this experiment, participants rated the morality and trustworthiness, but it's basically the same thing, right? Would you kill the little girl to get the terrorists who are about to do a suicide bombing and probably kill 20 other people, but you have to sacrifice that little girl to do it. You have to make that decision that she dies. And at first, personally, I was like, oh, I'd push the button. You think you'd push the button. But then it's like, why is it up to you to decide who's going to die that day? If it's that little girl or the one in the mall, what would you do?
This is very much like my philosophy class that I actually got out of a lot because we had a very pregnant teacher. But the class, this particular thing was utilitarianism versus something else. I cannot remember what it was, but
I don't know what utilitarianism means.
I'm getting to that.
Oh, good. I'm sorry. Thank you.
So
thank
basically,
you,
it's the same process, or it's the same kind of concept. It's like you are in a village, and you're hiding from people that are coming to attack your village. There is a baby that cries. Do you kill the baby to save your village, or do you risk that attacking tribe attacking you? So
it's the same question.
Yeah, exactly. So the utilitarianism would kill the baby because it's saying the ends are justifying the means, more people are saved.
Or you act on the greater good and put your morals aside. But this study on the Big Think says that most people trust more the person that sticks to their moral code. I don't know what I would do. I know I physically couldn't kill the baby. That'd be the problem. Could I push the button? I honestly don't know. What would you do?
I think that the bigger thing is that we're afraid to play God.
Who wants that responsibility?
Well, I mean, but absolutely.
Pasadena.
Absolutely. But I mean, okay, we play God with our animals to a degree.
That's a foregone conclusion.
Okay, all right.
That's where I say it's imminent and you're putting them out of pain. I don't think we're deciding whether they live a full
life. No, you're right. Okay, take that.
I just get to say I got out of answering this question because my pregnant teacher started crying and left the room. So we were good.
So
I'm going to need a coffee.
But there's no right or wrong.
Just so you know, can you do your little millennial thing and have that delivered, please?
Yes.
Does anybody else want a coffee?
I'd love a flat white, please.
Yeah, I forgot my lucky jacket home again. I know. I'd like a cold brew.
Do you want a side of espresso?
No. Jake?
No, thank you. I've got this one.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Janice.
there's no right or wrong, right?
No, it's.
I mean, that's just it.
It just made me go, oh my God, like, who am I? As much as I, by the way, would like to think that I would always act on the greater good, I don't think I could execute. I mean, like, literally take action, execute, not kill someone, execute. I don't think I could do either. I don't think I could execute. I don't think I could kill the baby, push the button.
I think there's some variables that we're missing here. It's as easy as slamming your fist down on a button.
And killing a little girl. Yeah.
Not saying that that's easy, but you're not pointing a gun to her face and seeing her cry.
Well, they're watching her on a monitor, though. They're watching her on a drone. You can see her die.
Right.
You can watch her die.
What happens when you don't do that? How are you going to feel when that terrorist walks into the schoolhouse and kills 100 little girls?
But you don't. You're not. Aha!
But you could have.
I think I've discovered something.
You could have prevented.
You're not personally responsible for that.
You are.
So that their death is not on your hands because you literally didn't go in and pull the trigger. They were planning on doing it anyway.
No, that's you justifying that to yourself. You are personally responsible when you have the power to stop it.
Ooh. Well, this is the giant moral
with power
debate.
Comes responsibility. You have the power. It's
well,
your
that's
responsibility.
That's what Helen Mirren was. Her character was like, and they did end up. He did end up getting forced. She ultimately was able to override him, but it went through all the way up through every government, the British government, the American government, and they all kept passing the buck until it got all the way up to the president because no one wanted to take responsibility. And Aaron Paul wanted nothing to do with it. She was like, push the button, and then the war between the two of them kept getting passed up.
And I think that's when the president, and it doesn't get to play God, but the president's job and sole responsibility is to do what's good for his country, what's good for the people. So in that case, I feel like he should have been the person to push the button.
Well, they ended up firing the missile, and the little girl did die.
Spoiler alert.
Oh,
no need to watch that movie now.
The thing is, then if you want to put it in another term, then what if that's her destiny?
Oh, but look,
what
if her destiny is answering the question?
No, but what if that?
Which are you?
I'm just saying. What if you can't? I
answer the question. You're pushing the button or not?
The person.
You're Aaron Paul. Push, don't push, and he gets to default to. I was following chain of command. I didn't actually push the button.
All I'm saying is that little girl was standing there for a hell of a long time. If they talked to her.
She's selling bread.
Oh, okay. So she wasn't.
And they tried to get her out of there. They did all this stuff to try to remove her. And unfortunately, you have to see the movie. But, like, they could not remove her. And the time was of the essence, obviously. They had, for the first time in, like, years and years, they had these people in, like, one spot. They had, you know, confirmed identities, all this stuff. You know, and I mean, it's like, and the little girl, you know, was in front of the house, and it's, would you push the button, Janice?
No, but it's not an easy question just to say yes or no. It's, you know, I mean, that's something if they had time to process, let me have time to process. So what I'm saying is,
in an act of war, you don't have time. You have to follow command.
I mean,
okay, yes.
Well, then it's not your responsibility.
Exactly. So I'm just
you're
saying,
Helen Mirren now.
I'm just saying.
You don't see
it's
the problem.
Either the child's destiny to be a martyr, or it's how many people were going to be killed in the missile?
Oh, they're going to go to a mall probably and blow up the, you know, the suicide bombers.
Okay, so let's say 100 people die.
20,
so there's,
it was 20.
Is it their
and
destiny?
Two.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Well, yeah, but who gets to choose whether
which one,
one life is more important than the other? This is where the classic argument comes down to is,
yeah.
If you can completely remove yourself and all sense of morals here, then you push the button. But if you even have 1 ounce of, I guess, humanity in you, you think about that little girl who's going to die.
Yeah, and whose life is more valuable.
But why are you saying...
But the greater good is more lives get saved.
Right, exactly. So this is where the classic...
I think if it came down to it in that situation, I would have pushed the button. I would. But you and I are not trustworthy then. It says that people prefer... But I could never kill a baby. But, like, I could never, literally, if I'm in the village and the baby's guy, couldn't do it.
Based on that thing,
could
though,
not
it's
do
like...
It. But that's my nightmare.
But they're aligning with the person who sticks to their morals. And I would align with the person who sticks to their morals if their morals are the same as mine.
Interesting.
That's different.
Okay, that's very interesting. For me personally, though, like, that's my nightmare. Like, I literally... Oh God, I didn't want to put it in the world. Like, I have nightmares that I've killed someone.
What do you mean?
Oh my God, like... Texting and I kill someone, you know, in the car, or just I can't. That's the one thing that I just don't want on my. I don't. That's the Jesus. I'd rather be raped. I don't want that ever. And it could happen at any. People make mistakes. You know what I mean? Shit happens. You could be tired. You could be changing the radio station, and for some reason, I just feel like it's so close. That little mistake that I could make. And kill someone. And my shrink is like, this is you being afraid of your rage. I'm like, I don't care what it is. It's my number one fear. That and so like my son being a rapist or something and my daughter being a victim. Like those are like my three worst fears. I do not want that on my karma. New. The murder thing, not into it.
So what are you afraid? Take it a step further then. What are you afraid will happen if it's on your
I couldn't live with it. I just could not live with that. Yeah. I don't even kill. Like, literally, there was a fly that was flying around the house yesterday, annoying the shit out of me and the kids, and they were eating dinner. And I wanted to kill it so bad. And I looked at the kids. I'm like, oh, guys. I'm like, this thing is driving me crazy. I want to kill it. And my son's like, why don't you kill it, Mama? And I was like, because it's not its fault. It's a fly. It's a fly. It's not going to hurt us. It's just annoying. If it's going to hurt you, it's a different story. You know what I mean? Like, if it's like mosquitoes and ticks and, you know, those things can actually kill you. Lyme disease and, you know, all kinds of freaking, what's the big one that mosquitoes? Oh, my God.
Zika.
Well, now Zika. That
West,
was
West Nile.
West Nile, yeah.
Malaria,
yeah. So, like, that to me is self-defense. But I don't like to kill things, man.
Well, then it also comes down to it.
I wonder if it's weakness.
Well, I don't consider it, well, maybe that for you, but like function. Flies pollinate. So it's like you're like, I don't know if I really want to kill this because it's pollinating.
Flies pollinate?
They can help pollinate.
Ugh.
I know, it's disgusting. It's better for bees to do it. But then if you get to an animal and you don't see a function for it, can you still kill it?
No.
Wasp.
I would only.
Would you kill it?
Even those I trap on the window. I trap them with a glass because they're always trying to get out. I take a piece of glass, bam, up against the window, slide the thing under, take it outside, lift the thing, and run. I don't want to kill it. Even there was a black widow yesterday that, oh my God, a monstrous one. Jesus. We bought this huge fountain that Heidi wanted for her bees in the back because they need water. So it's me and the kids in the pickup truck, right? And the fountain's in pieces. And in this one piece of the fountain... Kids are in the back of the pickup truck. We're on my property. It's not like I'm driving around the streets with them, you know. So we get to this part where I'm taking out the fountain, and I'm like, my son's like kind of pushing as much as he can, trying to help me. It's very cute. And I look inside. I'm like, look at all those spider eggs, guys. And it's like so stupid, right? I'm like, look at that. There's four. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, roar! Like I have this moment of like, where there's smoke, there's got to be fire. The kids have got their face in there, looking in there, and this gigantic, the biggest black widow I have ever seen, like crawls up to the kind of surface of this cylinder, and I'm like, ah! The kids are screaming in the back, and I'm like, okay, okay, oh my god, guys, get back, guys, get back, and Blue's like, I'm scared, I'm like, get back, guys. I mean, it's like, it was ridiculous. The pit bull's like, oh my god, what's the matter? Everybody's going crazy. The chihuahua's in the back of the truck with the kids. I'm like, get Richard. I mean, it's like, so I get this stick, and I like scoop her onto this stick and throw it, you know, but I didn't kill her. I did smash the eggs, though.
I was going to say, then you have 10,000 ways to
go. I smashed the eggs,
out.
And my son goes, well, why are you smashing the eggs? And I was like, and I just said, you know, I was like, they're not spiders yet. I'm hoping they're not alive yet. I was like, you know what, buddy? Oh. I'm like, here's the thing. I literally was like, like egg sacks, and I just was, because I can't have 10,000 black widows running around there back there. I can't have it. There were like four huge egg sacks, four of them.
Then it comes to safety of your family.
That's where it's self-defense. I'm like, it's too much risk. I don't know. I can see this one spider. I can remove it. Those ones can get the dog, a gardener, a groom, my kids, Heidi, Cody, Nicole. You know, and I'm hoping they're, you know, not feeling anything yet. He did smush the egg sacks.
Okay, then there's the same conversation.
Mm-hmm. Greater good.
You took out the, but you know.
I would go greater good.
But then, I mean, she also gets skewed here because it's her family, so she's biased. Whereas if you don't know the people, is it your
family? I think I would always, but if I could physically do it. Like, I really don't think I could do it. And that's my number one thing that I have a hard time with.
I feel like the greater good one makes you seem less trustworthy, because if the tables are turned and it turns into they kill you for the greater good, then that person who only does for the greater good is going to kill you.
What would you do, Jake?
With the spiders?
No.
Slap the button.
Okay. I push the button at the end of the day.
Honestly, I take everything into account, but at the end, it's going to be greater good, because really? My family's going to be in it too.
You can't think too much. You're going to hesitate. You're going to think mm-hmm. about every aspect. Like, what if the people they were going to kill were also bad people?
Well,
Helen
Mirren was black and white. She was like, they've committed all these crimes. They've killed
a good
all
leader
these
should
people.
Be.
We have them right now. You know, we're never going to get this chance. It's like, it's confirmed. I've been trying to get this opportunity for years. Fire the missile.
But people also in the military have a certain detachment from things.
Well, because there's that chain of command.
Right,
too.
So that's what makes you either good in the military or not good in the military, because you have to have that kind of detachment. So it's not really a good gauge. It's not like if it was me in there in Helen Mirren's shoes, I'm still thinking about it, right? So
that's why the baby one I couldn't hit people more because it's like a defenseless baby or your entire tribe. Defenseless baby who's done nothing.
Oh, the baby's going to die anyway.
Exactly. Well,
I guess I would kill the baby. Oh, God. And then I would, you know what I would be? I would end up going insane. I'd probably have to kill myself. I would go nuts. I'd never recover from that.
Well, you know what? I am so glad we've had this conversation today. I feel so conflicted and so upset.
I told you we should do my penis one. I don't know why you don't listen.
Okay, all right. We'll do the coming up next, penis talk with Jillian Michaels.
It's random penis pains explained.
Oh, God, sweet Lord.
We should have done that to begin with. We should have done that.
Okay, I can speak on this, too.
I know. Oh, I thought you'd like God, it. I pulled it just for you.
Thank you.
I had a question. Did you say you wanted espresso?
No.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Soup or salad? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From your online start to your first million orders, Shopify's there to help you grow. No matter what your product is, they can help you sell it everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, Shopify can help you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average than other leading commerce platforms. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Jillian, all lowercase, Just go to shopify.com/Jillian now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Jillian. Okay, who's tired of fasting or cleanses that just leave you hungry and exhausted instead of rejuvenated and energized? Well, Prolon is the scientifically proven meal plan solution you've been waiting for. Prolon is a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making the cells believe they're fasting. Researched and developed for decades at the University of Southern California Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers, Prolon helps promote healthy blood sugar, support cardiovascular health, and reduce abdominal fat. But Prolon isn't a diet. Prolon is science, science-based on Nobel Prize-winning discoveries in medicine. And this all starts with Prolon's five-day program, snacks, soups, and beverages, all designed to keep your body in a fasting state. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. I did it for 5 days because I've had the absolute hardest time with straight fasts for even 24 hours, and it was a game changer for me. So right now, Prolon is offering Keeping It Real Conversations with Jillian Michaels listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Just go to prolonlife.com/Jillian. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian for this special offer. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian. All right, everyone knows by now how much I love Skims underwear because I mentioned them a ton and I've been wearing them forever. I mean, I guess specifically a year and change. That's not forever in my life. If I can stick with something for longer than 30 days, it's forever. So this is big for me. And let me tell you, they are worth the hype. From the support they give to their amazing shape, and best of all, they're super comfortable. Whether it's the weightless scoop bra, the fits everybody plunge bra, the fits everybody t-shirt bra, I just get them in sand. You don't see them under anything at all. They're awesome. They're comfortable. I don't even realize I'm wearing them. They go with everything. So shop Skims bras at skims.com now, available in 62 sizes from 38 to 46H. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. So after you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
Hello, Manus. You know what's funny?
You know you don't.
You like that? Now in every segment, I'm going to be like, and goodbye. Tell them why.
Okay, no, we got a note from Christina.
You respond to everything on there. I swear, if the wind blows, you're like, oh, the wind!
No, well, we've asked people to write to us at jillianpodcast@gmail.com. So we invite people, so it's, we should read it. We should read them.
Yeah.
If we're asking
questions we're asking for.
I know, we get many questions, but I just noticed,
Hang on a second.
Okay, well, I do have a segment, I'll have you know, but now I have to say hello and goodbye. No. Before and after every segment.
Christine is saying she listens to us while she's on the mini tramp.
Yeah, I'm just going to put more grease on my face.
And so she said that sometimes she knows what the opening.
Lasered.
And then then she says sometimes we don't say, she doesn't know the show's over.
She knows the opening because you do a generic opening before the opening where you, on your own, have a pre-record where you say, welcome to the show.
Welcome
it's
to the
Jillian Michaels
it's
show.
It's the Jillian Michaels show. You're listening to the Jillian Michaels
What's
show.
What's she saying? You like the grease thing that I'm doing?
Yeah, I know. It looks kind of wrong.
Hurts, dude.
You're sticking it in your ear.
Oh, God. Jeez.
I don't think it's supposed to go in there.
Yeah.
No, they lasered my whole face.
But
burned
it
right off.
But it's supposed
to go in your ear? Woof. I am going to write a book about anti-aging, but I'm going to tell the truth. You know how everybody's like, I just eat organic and I never drink. I'm going to be like, and then you take a laser and burn the entire top layer of your face off biannually.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel great. Go on.
So yeah. She's saying at the end, she doesn't know when the show's over.
Uh-huh, Gracie.
I just think it's over because the music comes in between all the segments, right? We put a little music in.
Uh-huh. Well, why doesn't she just look at the timer so she goes, it's over?
I wasn't sure. But apparently she would rather
sift through that
she would rather we say goodbye. But what we're doing at the end of every show now is we're doing a little thing where you say, hey, we want to hear from you.
Oh, yeah. So goodbye.
Okay, now.
Yeah.
You have a little...
I do.
You have a snappy,
I think. One.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm ready because I do dig the snappy.
This came from when I brought Lubal to the gym with me.
Okay.
Not on purpose. Yeah, so...
not on purpose.
Well... So Heidi and I had this thing, and I was like, oh, my God, every weekend it's like kid. And I was like, this is crazy. You know, not everybody lives like this. It just can't be like this all the time. I feel like, you know, George R.R. Martin, you know, winter is coming.
Okay.
If he was a parent, it would be like the weekend is coming, you know? And I mean, it's like, so I was like, I'm going to the gym. It's happening. I'm going back to when we used to go to the gym. So... Lou looks at me and she's like, you're going to the gym? And I just work at this little gym in Malibu. It's not like a big chain or anything. They're super cool and laid back. I'm going to give them a shout out. I should. It's called Malibu Fitness. And they're just, it's like a little mom, like a family. Anyway, so they're laid back. Yeah, they let me get away with murder. I can shoot challenge moves there with my iPhone. They've let me shoot my show there, everything. They're very cool. So.
And I'm going to give a shout out to a couple of the boys who work out really hard. And work out with their shirts off. They're pretty.
Wow. Okay. So anyway, Lou was like, I want to go with you. And I was like, I'm like, you can't go with me. You're six. And she got this look in her face. And I was like, no, my way. Okay. So I'm like, go get. So we have an old iPhone that the kids play their music off of in the kitchen.
Okay.
So I was like, go get the iPhone. And then I only have her like kid headphones. I gave her like a pair of my headphones. And she's. On the treadmill, and she's putting on Carly Rae Jepsen. I swear to God. She's running next to me on the treadmill. She's doing step-ups. We're doing, like, push-ups and high fives. But she was curious about the step mill. And so she was fascinated by, like, all the different pieces of cardio equipment for some reason. And she wanted to try, like, every single one. And I realized, I was like, you know what? We should do, she's like, what's this? What does this do? Which one's better? And she asked me about the elliptical. I was like, no, that's no good. Which to a kid is like, you know, an awesome toy because it looks fun. You know, it like goes in this weird elliptical circle. But it made me go, you know what? I'm going to do a segment about my favorite pieces of cardio equipment and why.
Absolutely.
So she loved the Woodway. Have you ever been on the Woodway?
I don't think so.
It's the manual treadmill. It's motor free. It's like arced. And you run
no,
on it.
No, I have not been on it, but I have seen it, and I didn't even know it was called a Woodway.
Okay. Yeah, it's brutal. Like, when you do sprints on it, you got to get used to it, because you can, if you're not fit, you can kaboom ski. But, like, when you do sprints on it, it's crazy, because it ends up, it's hard to explain, but it's almost like overspeed training. Like, you have to try to keep up with
the momentum,
the pace
of
it. It's so hard to explain. It's like, because it doesn't pull your feet along. Whereas a treadmill, you step on the...
And the momentum takes you back.
The belt, and it pulls, it pulls your feet. So it's very different. It's really challenging. It's the Woodway curve.
Okay.
Yeah, so try a sprint workout on there. It's awesome. That's for sprinting, right? Jogging, I think I've never done a jog. I've done sprinting on there. I think a jogging workout, I would die because it's so hard to maintain a steady clip. Incline walking, of course, always, but try not to hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Incline walking's super effective if you can't do the sprinting and the running. So like an incline trainer is a really good one. Obviously the step mill, but again, don't hold on. So it's like you're doing stairs.
Do you, on that step mill, do you just turn it around? Like, I mimicked some guy at the gym once, and he was doing sideways up it.
Sideways backwards. Yeah, but you got to be careful.
You do.
If you do that, because I do that sometimes. I almost posted myself doing that do like a little challenge on there, and then I thought, no.
Yeah, I hold
some of it.
When
you
I
look
sideways,
at...
I hold on, just because I'm afraid I'm going to fall or I'm going to screw up. You know what I mean?
Just touch your hands lightly.
Touch.
Yeah, that's the key.
Yeah,
that's the key. Okay, so this one is less common and less obvious, but it's the ski erg. Have you ever seen it? It's like a cross country ski machine. You stand up, and you grab the little. It's like ropes actually, but it's supposed to be like poles, and you like in a full body movement, sort of whoosh, like you're cross country skiing.
Oh, no kidding!
And it's a really great workout for if you have any. It's a great workout, but if you have any lower body injury, there's no impact. It's all upper body, and boy, that thing will jack the crapola out of your heart rate.
What's it called?
The Ski Erg by Concept 2. Yes, S-K-I-E-R-G. It's pretty... Here, let me pull up a picture of it. Look, you should probably seen it. So you stand here, right? You stand on the little platform and you grab those two handles with a rope and you...
Wow, I've never seen that before.
Yeah, it's hard, I'll tell you right now. Okay. No joke, that sucker. Obviously, I like a row, machine, but like to mix it up, I would say try the Ski Erg. Okay, another one that I love, and you've probably seen on Biggest Loser, was Jacob's Ladder.
I've
seen. Where you're at like a 45 degree angle, and you're crawling literally up the wood pegs, like prone on your hands and feet. So it engages many different muscle groups because you're on your chest, shoulders, triceps, quads, core, crawling at a 45 degree angle.
And it's called Jacob's Ladder.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's super intense. I love it. I would used to do it with the, of course, with the contestants. So those are my, like, if you're going to do cardio.
Could you?
You don't want to do the elliptical or common bike unless you're, like, really injured. I mean, like, that's, you know, these are things that give you a, have some resistance that requires some strength that will give you a pretty good intense workout, especially when done HIIT style.
What's tough, though, is not all gyms put in. Like the newer, the neat stuff, the fun. They put in the basics, and I get why.
The little mini gyms do.
The boutique more gyms?
Yeah,
that makes sense.
I know. It's
otherwise, you got to get it yourself. Put it in your house.
They're not cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not cheap. You could get the incline trainer that I support.
Yeah. Well, because you can do a lot of variations on that.
A lot of this stuff is like $5,000. How much is the incline trainer? I think it's like 15?
I'm not sure.
17? I'm not sure either.
Do you want me to Google it?
I'm pretty sure it's under 2,000, but most of these pieces of equipment are like...
They're up there.
They're five plus. Like, the wood weighs like $5,000.
Wow.
Yeah, but so...
But, you know what?
That's why I always say if you're buying a piece of at-home equipment, like an incline trainer's good, because you can incline train or jog, and it's the most common, you know what I mean? Or a rower or a bike, but bike isn't... Like, if you're going to bike, get a bike. Go for a bike ride.
Yeah, I was thinking this winter, like if you're in the winter places that where you can't ride your bike in the winter, is to get a good spin bike for home. That's what I'm looking for. I'm going to get a spin bike at home. Not a recumbent, because it bores the crap out of me, but a spin bike for home.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what I'm doing, Jillian.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, there's my Nordic Track thing.
Ranges in prices.
Nordic Track X11i, 2,200 roughly. Look at that.
Jesus. You can't put a price on health.
Well, no, look at the other one. The competitor's $7,000. Mm-hmm. Who's got $7,000 for a treadmill? That's crazy. You could buy a car.
Yes, you could. But then?
Cheap car.
What did you say again, Nicole?
Oh, we can't put a price on
health. You can't put a price on health.
I don't think we could end it any better.
Goodbye!
No, this isn't goodbye.
Oh, it's not?
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
All right, so we are back, and all the way from Ohio, Jillian, this is Lauren.
Hey, Lauren, what's going on?
Hello, how are you?
Hi, bud, I'm good. What's the haps? How are you?
Oh, dear. Well,
I haven't said that in a while.
Right now, I am just, like, super nervous.
Don't be.
But so I wrote in, and I was kind of talking about my lack of sex drive. Very consistent listener. I was kind of hit when I believe one of your employees of the show, his name's Jake.
Jake dated a porn star?
Yes.
Oh!
Yes. So I was listening to that episode, and he was just talking about, like, his amazing sex life and yeah. X, Y, and Z. And there have been other episodes in the past, like, about people talking about their sex lives. And I'm like,
we both know it wasn't Manus.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't Manus.
Yeah. It could have been Nicole. Go on.
And I was, you know, I was just kind of thinking, I'm like, man, mine is not that great. I put on a ton of weight just within the last 5 years or so. And about a year and a half ago, I started working with a nutritionist, dropped about 70 pounds, gained all this confidence and this real, like, just zeal for life. And I was hoping, praying, you know, okay, my sex life will come back when I lose all the weight, like, I'll feel better about myself. I've read, you know, kind of a couple places that, you know, being overweight, that will suppress it a bit.
Sure.
Birth control will do that. So cut birth control, cut a bunch of weight. I was also in this, like, awful job, just terrible work situation.
Okay,
quit
stress.
My job, yeah. Got a new job. And the one kind of steady factor was my amazing boyfriend. He's stuck by me this whole time. And I know that the whole, like, lack of sex drive, like, it affects him too. It's not just me.
Sure.
So that's why I wrote in.
Okay. Well, hold on a second. Okay. So it's been consistent lack of sex drive, correct? For
yes.
For always,
yes.
Or?
No. So before I put on all the weight, it was like a pretty active sex drive. Like, okay. Feeling great, like, definitely, you know, aroused, very, just, I was a sexual person. I mean,
okay.
It was never something that I questioned or second-guessed. And
I love that I'm answering these questions, by the way, as though I'm qualified to. I do feel like I should establish that I have no credentials in this area. I'm just talking friend to friend.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
well, and
so,
I've gone to my gynecologist. Like, I have...
I don't think,
you know,
honey, I don't think that's what's going on here. I mean, I could be wrong, and, and to a certain extent... my guess, and I don't know, but, like, when I talk to my mom about depression, for example, something mm-hmm. can trigger a depression, but then it begets itself, because then it starts to become biochemical. And that's when they may suggest, like, oh, you need, you know, antidepressants to disrupt this cycle of depression, because it does become chemical. And it, you know, I don't know anything about this. You know, maybe it's possible that you go through something psychological, and then it does affect your, you know, your hormone balance, and your testosterone becomes low. But there's something in the things you're telling me that would lead me to believe that it's not, there's nothing biochemically wrong with you. So I would say, okay, so you were feeling good and frisky, for lack of a cooler word, and and you were in shape, and then you started to gain weight. Can you tell me what was the catalyst for that, if you know?
I feel like, so I moved to a new city, started working in the restaurant industry, which is just kind of a hot mess in and of itself.
Yeah.
Started dating my boyfriend, and, you know, you kind of, like, you gain weight in a new relationship, or I guess not everyone does, but I did.
Okay.
worked through the restaurant gig, like got a couple design jobs. And then I started working at my last job and just, I mean, that's where I noticed the biggest change. And it was definitely like, that job was terrible. It was terrible for me. I was stressed all the time. I was constantly like under attack. Okay. And that's definitely where
this began.
A bit of complacency came in, and a lot of like just sink or swim. Like I just have to do my best at this job. Like I'm just going to focus on that.
And you got into like full blown survival mode.
Yeah, like it was not fulfilling. Like it was not making me happy. It was just like, well, this is where I'm at. Like I'm going to do it. I'm going to get through it, and just everything else kind of be damned for. You know,
well then, okay, so hold on a second. Time. So, first of all, stress is known to just destroy the heck. I keep wanting to say destroy the heck out of your sex drive. But I still don't, I think that was likely a catalyst at the time. And, you know, and it definitely, I think, triggered whatever you went through with regard to your weight gain and your decrease in sex drive. But are you under that kind of tremendous stress now or not so much anymore?
No. So I quit the job about 2 months ago.
Okay.
And it was very much a, like, I don't have another plan. Like, I just can't be here anymore.
Yeah.
Luckily,
yeah.
Something else has come up. I have a new job. The job itself is not stressful, but I'm definitely harboring some of the old stresses.
Here's what I would say to you. So hold on. Mm-hmm. So like, okay, this year has been a particularly, I mean, like out of my entire life, right? I would put this at like one of the top five worst years ever. With that said, I can absolutely see the silver lining. I'm like, all right, this is all shifting. I'm moving into a totally different direction. This is changing. That's changing. This is changing. But I mean, it has been just grueling. And when I talk to my shrink about it in my more cynical, depressed, angrier moments about it all, he'll say, like, you know, your inability at times to sort of see the hope is, you know, this is your psychological reality. And I'm like, nah, stop, you know, quit with that bullshit. This is the world, and this is the way it is. And like, the world is ending, and the oceans are boiling, and the coral is bleaching. I mean, like, I can, you know, I have the ability to really go down the rabbit hole. And he's like, okay, you know what? That right now, that's irrelevant, because we're talking about the quality of your immediate life and what you can control and what you can't control and what good you can see in the world and what hope you can find in the world. And you know, unfortunately, this year has triggered some really dark childhood shit. Like, you know, it's just nowhere to turn, and you know, I'm all alone in the world, and everybody lets me down, and you know, it's brought up all of this intense stuff. And I'm wondering if this job scenario didn't like open up a massive landmine that's been laying dormant from your childhood, you know, this huge can of worms, like that kind of like fight or flight survival mechanism, sink or swim, this is my theme song this year, gotta get through this, I gotta get through this, like that song, like,
yeah,
that sounds to me like, does that feeling, does that take you anywhere, or is it like, no it's the only, you know, nope, that's it, it's the only time I've ever felt under siege.
I mean, if I'm being completely honest, yeah, I don't really have, or at least also side note, I have a terrible memory. I don't remember a lot of my childhood. I don't have guttural feelings of, or negative guttural feelings about my childhood.
You just don't remember it.
But yeah, I just, and it's not so much like, oh, it was very traumatic. It was just like, I don't remember. Like, my mom will ask me, like, oh, well, remember when we used to go to all these playgrounds and your dad would, you know, like, search the city to find the best ones? And I'm like, no, I don't. I'm very sorry. Like, yeah. Sounds great, though. But I don't remember. Yeah.
You know what's funny?
Which I think causes her probably more trauma than me.
I don't remember much of mine either, buddy. And that's sort of, you know, there could be many reasons for that. I don't remember a ton of mine either. And I think, you know, what I would really look at is like, in how did it, that period, right, where you were just like so stressed out and all of that, like describe a little more deeply, like how you felt going through that and how did it just, what did you feel?
It was definitely a lot of anger. A lot of anger, a lot of like feelings of hopelessness, a ton of anxiety. I mean, prior to that job, I would not have classified myself as like an overly anxious person. I mean, definitely, you know, touches of it here and there, but like not to the level that I got at that job. A lot of just sadness and a lot of like disappointment.
Stop. That shit does not. How long did you have that job?
About 3.5 years.
Okay. Again, I'm not a therapist, but the fact that like you were in it and you stayed in it for 3.5 years tells me that there was something you were trying to resolve there.
Oh yeah. I mean, I definitely like, I wanted to show them that I could do it.
Right.
You know, I went into the job with no experience. So it was very much a, like, I am going to do this and I'm going to show you that like I can excel at this job.
Okay. Stop for a second. I wanted to show them I could do it. I'm going to get into so much trouble here. It's like, just close your eyes for a second and just think about, let's just say, your parents, hypothetically, when you say that statement.
Mm-hmm.
Visualize them and seriously, like, say, I wanted to show them I could do it.
Okay.
Is it nothing?
Definitely not with my dad. A little bit with my mom. But it's more of a, like, this is going to sound terrible, but, like, she's so over, like, when I have an issue with my home or with a friend, like, she's so overly there for me and giving me advice. So, like, I kind of get a little bit of that with my mom. Like, no, like, I can do it. Let me show you I can do it on my own. So there's, like, a little bit there, but it's not a feeling of, like, it's not a negative feeling.
I know that, I know Heidi's parents, did a lot of stuff, you know, for her and her sister, and it has definitely made them, it makes them feel insecure, I'm guessing, at what you're, but I know that she's like, my mom would just always do it. It was like, no, I'll do it. And it always gave her this, even though her mother was like, that's how her mother was loving her. In her mind, she unconsciously took it on as, oh, you think I'm incompetent. Oh, I'm not doing it right. Oh, I'm doing it wrong. And it messed with her confidence and her self-worth.
Oh, yeah. I can 100% see that.
I'm just thinking that whatever it is, because, sweetie, for you to feel like hopeless and helpless and sad and to stay in an abusive situation for such a long time, there's something much greater going on there. And it's like, and I'm going to prove I can do it. Like, why would you care? These are, who gives a shit? You know, these are not your family. These are not your family. These people are not your friends. Like, they're, you know, but yet you were like, I'm going to, and you hung in there for 3.5 years.
Yeah. I mean, and it's definitely, it's a part of me. It's not like this is the overwhelming, you know, theme in the job. But it was very much like I fell in love with what I was doing.
Okay.
Did I fall in love with the people? Like, hell no. Did I fall in love with, like, retail? 100% no. But, like, what I was doing, like, the ability to, like, draw and paint and then, you know, do all this stuff, like, on the computer, like, that aspect of it, I was like, I love what I'm doing. Like, let me. So I 100% see what you're getting at and where you're going with this.
I'm just saying, like, I know from, I can only speak from what I've been through this year. And I know that I have gotten to a place with so much of, like, the work stuff that is so, like, dark and corrupt and just dirty and...
Yeah.
And it's like, I literally look at the entertainment industry and the kind of people in it, and with the exception of a few individuals, I'm like, this is the most disgusting business. Like, maybe second only to politics. Like, it's just disgusting. And the people in it are disgusting. racist, bigots, sexists. Yeah, just the most disgusting people. And I've seen the most disgusting stuff. And but my shrink is like, the fact that it brings you to this place, though, of darkness and this and that and this and this and that, and it's like, that's inside you. It's mm-hmm. in your emotional world. So you don't have the ability to be like, okay, that's them. This is me. I separate you here. This is where you end. This is where I begin. This is how I, you know, put you in your box and set my boundaries. And it's bringing up this, it's triggering these bigger feelings. And for me, it sounds like, you know, you were doing great. Then all of a sudden you got in this job and the stress and the psychological issues it brought up for you and the place that it brought you to destroyed mm-hmm. your sex drive, because you were in flat out, dude, you're in flat out survival mode. You went into hardcore survival mode. When you're in survival mode, there is no sex drive. Even from I promise you, even from an evolutionary perspective, when you're in like major fight or flight survival, the body is not going, yeah, we can take care of a kid right now. Uh-uh. No. You know, I mean, that's proven. But then the question becomes, you know, why is it lingering? And I think because wherever it took you is a can of worms that's still open.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I just think you've got to do some work looking at, you know, what the feelings of sadness and hopelessness and helplessness, are any of those still there? Or you're like, no, everything's great again.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's a lot of like residual. I think there's a lot of fear for my new job just based on how the last one went.
The thing of it is, like, anybody in an extraordinarily abusive scenario that wasn't playing something out would have gotten out sooner.
Right.
You know, and I went through, I can tell you that Biggest Loser, I worked with, oh my God, some people, good people. Some of them, true monsters, like sociopaths. And that would literally eat your children if, you know, for a laugh. Like, and I mm-hmm. look at it and it's like, I would get out and then I would go back out of fear. And then and by the way, I loved the job for such a long time.
Yeah,
I did. I loved the work. I loved actually working with my contestants. Loved the work.
Yeah.
At moments, I still miss the work, you know, but the work, not the job.
There were people there that made the job like worth going to. It was just other specific people.
Honey, if it brings you to a place of hopeless, helpless, sad, and depressed, or hopeless, helpless, and sad, you gotta ask why you stayed for 3.5 years.
Right.
And it caused you to put on 70 pounds and go into like a complete and total survival mode. That's what you gotta ask. Why did I stay? Why wasn't I able to separate myself from that whole situation? Why did it become so historical of, I'll show you I can do it? There's a much bigger thing happening here. And you're just crawling out of this black hole after 3.5 years. And, you know, I think that there's still, if there's any of those feelings that are lingering, I think you might be contending. I'm not a therapist, not a psychiatrist, but my guess is that you might be contending with a low-grade depression. That can become biochemical. And I recommend, honestly, as a person who's been in therapy, as a person who, as a mother who's a therapist, I recommend getting into therapy and looking at it. And maybe, and I never advocate for this, but maybe seeing a psychiatrist about and talking to them about like possibly antidepressants for a very short period. If it's something, because it can almost become, as I was saying, it becomes biochemical. It can become hard to shake.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm so open to exploring that and, you know, finding someone that can help me get out of that.
I think you should check it out, sweetie. And I just say it because I have been there. This is much bigger than a job. It's a repetition of an abusive pattern. And you're, you know, where it took you is deep, deep, deep. And why you're there is deep, deep, deep. I'm telling you, honey. I hate dropping these bombs on people. That's me. I feel like sometimes I just am like Hiroshima.
Oh, no. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call it a bomb. I mean, I had the pieces. It was just I needed someone to help me put them together. thank you so much for being that person.
Keep us updated.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I will.
Thank you, Lauren.
Oh, thank you. You guys too.
Don't forget, email us your questions with your phone number to JillianPodcast@gmail.com. We want to talk to you.